When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
How frustrated can one fan base get in the span of a week, 2 weeks, whatever it is? The Flyers are collapsing. How can they get back? Let's talk about it all right now. It is episode 174 of Orange and Backcheck, and I am Bill Kornfeld. That is Scott Weinhardt across from me, as always. We are trying to make sense of what this team is right now in the Philadelphia Flyers. I said last episode, I was very, very nervous if they don't turn this around that they're not going to make the playoffs. Lo and behold, they put up another dud against the lowly Columbus Blue Jackets. And now they're on the outside looking in because of all teams, it had to be the Pittsburgh Penguins that went on a ridiculous surge and make the playoffs. I think they're sitting in a playoff spot at this point.
Got a point last night against Toronto in overtime.
And I can believe that we're at this point. There's certain ends of the spectrum that I'm like, yeah, I get it. And then other ends, I'm like, this doesn't make sense. The team is playing so well. What happened? And yeah, they're tired, Scott, but can it really be all tiredness? Can it be, like, these are professional athletes that have not, like, it's not Couturier's first rodeo playing 82 games. It's not Sean Lawton or Scott Lawton's first 82 game season rodeo. Like, these are not, this is a young team, but it's not a youth. It's not a team that should be experiencing this, in my opinion.
I disagree, actually. I think this is part of the growing pains that we have to go through here in Philadelphia with this hockey team. The issue today is that this team has played above expectation by most people. Yep. for the course of the year. I'm still holding out projections that they get into the playoffs. The issue is right now is that there's a multitude of issues. First of all, as we've talked about many times on this pod this season, without any kind of top scoring players, that, like, you know, top end talent, you can only do so much. So, and now that you have guys like Konechny, who apparently is banged up and something that, you know, according to Anthony Sanfilippo, might need surgery at the end of the season. That's the case. According to Elliot Friedman, Sean Couturier is hurt. That's part of the reason why he hasn't played as well. That really impacts you because Tippett hasn't been the same since he came back from his injury. But at the same time, too, it's also because this is really his first full, like, you know, NHL season of being like a better player. And you're really behind that. What do you have? You have, you know, behind those three guys, you have guys that, like, you know, Morgan Frost, who, while he's played better, is inconsistent. Joel Farabee, who has disappeared, who caught Morgan Frost's syndrome from the beginning of the season. You have a defense that is been kind of banged up quite a bit, you know, losing Nick Seeler for a while, killed him on the penalty kill, losing Jamie Drysdale for a few weeks there, killed him on the power play when they were starting to build some momentum there.
Don't forget Walker, too. You traded Sean Walker.
Yeah, you traded him. And then lastly, your goaltending situation, which is, you know, at this point, which is played above expectation. But, you know, since the departure of Carter Hart, you know, you have now Sam Erson taking the reins, playing 28 games since, you know, the beginning of January. And the only people to match that is Andre Vasilevsky, I believe, and Charlie Lindgren. So those things adding up, it's not about physical fitness. It's about, like, burning out. It's just like you just don't have that extra step. Like, you just don't have – it's harder to get your energy. It's like – you know, you kind of see, like, with teams, like, when you look at, like, they're basically playing like playoff style hockeys for, you know, since January, and it wears you down. You know, it really does. And it's not an excuse. You know, you're right here near the finish line. Just get to the finish line, like, get to it and get in and see what happens from there, because anything then can happen. But when you're playing with that type of burnout, it just it makes it harder because, you know, you got through the most difficult part of your schedule and you stayed about 500. And now you went and you played teams like, you know,
Chicago. Teams that you should be beating.
Chicago, like, Montreal, Columbus. Those are teams that have been beating you pretty hard, handily, and you haven't beaten them. And that's the biggest problem, is because then it becomes a confidence issue. And then once you have that and you're already starting to burn out, then everything goes out the window. And that's the kind of the result that we're seeing right now.
Yeah, I mean, the Islanders are now on the cusp of making the playoffs again. 4-3 loss overtime, 4-2 loss to Buffalo, 6-2 loss to Columbus. I mean, these are losses that should, I mean, 5-1 loss to to Chicago, 4-1 loss to Montreal. But then you have like a decent loss, quote unquote, earlier at the end of March in the Rangers, where you lose 6-5 in overtime and you get a big point there. Like, you're not going to compete with the Rangers this year. Like, we understand that. You have to compete with these teams. Like, you cannot be getting blown out of the barn by these lowly teams. Yeah, they have generational talent on their team, arguably, in Johnny Gaudreau or Bedard, whoever it is, whatever the team. That doesn't mean that you lay down and give up. It seriously is starting to – the way this team is playing, not saying the culture is bad yet or is bad again. It's not. The culture's fine being rebuilt. But the losses are starting to remind me of the 2021-2022 losses, where they give up a goal, give up a second goal, and then the wheels would fall off and all hell would be gone. And it's like that. I thought we were past that. And it's the exhaustion. But after Torts' speech that we just missed on the last episode, on episode 173, like, where he just gave power, that was a powerful message. I don't care what your thoughts are on Torts. That was a great message to the team. And for them to immediately come out flat the next night just rings hollow to me. I don't think they're giving up on this coach. I don't think they've quit on him in the locker room. I think that is a very, very lazy narrative. But I think there is a little bit of doubt creeping in. I don't know. I can't put my finger on it, but I don't blame Torts entirely for these last couple of weeks.
No, I don't really blame Torts at all. I think if anything, you got to give Torts credit for even having him in this situation. And that's the way you have to look at it. Like, going into this season, did you expect the Flyers to be in the playoffs? You got to ask yourself, honestly, did you expect the Flyers to be in the playoffs?
No.
Me personally? No, yeah,
you did.
I did. So that's the difference, is that, you know, I expect this team to be in the playoffs because of other teams starting to fall off. Like, and that's the reason why. That's it was there for the taking.
Yep.
But now that they have fallen off a little bit, everybody wants the microcosm of the last week has been just, I'm sorry, the last week has been a microcosm of the last month of play. I mean, if you really look at it, they have not been consistent since the middle of February. And here's the key. There's, if you look at this from two ways, first of all, again, the hard part of the schedule, you kept your head above water. But at the same time, too, you're trying to motivate the team to get better, and you're trying to push these guys a little harder. Look at the way they battled back against the Rangers and they did against the Islanders. They're still fighting them. That tells me they're not getting over the coach. You go back to a game like Buffalo. You give Fedotov his first start. And I think they had how many shots on goal? They didn't. I think they were already. They think Fedotov already been beaten twice by the time Buffalo had 7 shots on goal. Mm-hmm. So I mean, that's part of the problem there too. Is that Buffalo was getting some really good chances in tight and right from the slot, and the Flyers really, you know, while they were generating chances, they weren't getting enough like good scoring chances, like, you know, and weren't converting on their chances. So it's a little bit of puck luck. But at the same time, too, when you get down early in a game, when a goalie's faced 7 shots, we saw it against Sandstrom 2 weeks ago against Florida. When your goalie's limited shots and the puck seems going past them, it's hard to battle back from. But like, when a team is like, and you're fighting neck and neck, and you're, you know, you're staying in it and you're keeping close, this team finds a way to claw itself out of it. They were up 2-1 at the end of 2 against the Rangers. And then they went down 3-2 right away and then battled back. They went down 3 times in that third period and came back, tied it, and then they still got a point. They tied the game with 9 seconds left against the Islanders. That's not quitting on a coach. It's just you don't have the talent to get you over the hump when teams are really bogging down, really trying to get into a playoff race right now, getting into the playoffs. What really is the bigger piece to this, though, is that, and this is why you can't say it's that they're giving up on the coach. The biggest problem they have is that the way their goal differential has shifted. They went from a +5
minus to a
-23 right now. And that's huge because that's a 28-goal swing. And if you go back and watch the games, what's the culprit? Sam Ersson. I'm not trying to pin it on Sam Ersson, but it's because you have an exhausted rookie goaltender. You have nobody to back him up. You can't use Cal Peterson because Cal Peterson is not an NHL goaltender.
And
Felix Sandstrom's the same thing. He's just not an NHL goaltender. Yep. Fedotov is not ready. He played well against the Islanders, but in his first start, you could see his angles are off. He's just kind of, you know, not quite set yet. He just thrown into a position where, hey, look, see what you can do, and it didn't work out. You know, like people had the expectation, oh, he was coming in to do this, but, you know, that's probably why they couldn't go out and get someone. I think they could have probably swung a deal, maybe gotten like a Carl Vimalka to give him a little bit of relief, but, you know, that's another issue of, you know, what do you do with that down the line? Is this part of the bigger plan? So Sam Ersson's been a bigger problem because Sam Ersson's getting a little tired and teams are starting to get the book on him. If you go back and look at a lot of his goals, he's getting beat high blocker side big time. And that's a concern that from when I watched him last season, I wouldn't say concern. I'm not, you know, he's played very well for the Flyers overall, given the circumstances this year. He was expected to play about 25 games. He's over 40. So he's played over half the season. But the thing is, the way his style was, he's very close in tight, but those far out shots kind of get above him because of the way he plays. He plays a low, wide butterfly in tight. He's hard to beat, but you can pick corners on him. And teams have figured out the book on that. And when you have that, that kills a goalie's confidence because you just feel like you can't stop anything. And if you go back and look at all the goals that beat him in the past couple of weeks, they're all going high. So they have a book on Ersson now. So getting behind that, and when you don't have the scoring punch up front, it just adds to this, and it's just everything is culminating into this past 7-game losing streak that it seems like, oh my God, this whole season's been a waste. What frustrates me the most is that they're so friggin' close, yet it feels like it's so far away at this point, even though they're only 2 points out of a playoff spot.
That's what I was going to address next. So like, let's take a look at this playoff picture. It's as tight as you can get. Tampa Bay, far and away, going to be they can theoretically make it into the third spot with Toronto if they collapse. But Tampa Bay is going to be the wild card number one. Then it is basically a 4-team race between Detroit, Pittsburgh, Washington, and the Philadelphia Flyers for that second wild card, all within a point of each other. Detroit and Washington have a game in hand against Pittsburgh and Philly. Philly and Pittsburgh split the season series 2-2 in this season. But the problem is there's not a lot of tiebreakers that break the Flyers' way. Regular overtime wins, are 31 for Pittsburgh, 28 for Philly, 28 for Washington, which is can go in their favor. But like,
Washington this is a game in hand still.
Exactly. Like, this isn't over yet. And other than the Rangers, what's good is you kind of have beatable teams in front of you. Washington is a beatable team. There is no excuse that you should be losing tonight to Montreal. Montreal is dead last in the Atlantic. They are not good. Pony up, figure your shit out, and understand what's in front of you. Because you're exceeding my expectations, like majority of the fan base's expectations. It's in front of you. Go grab it by the balls and do it.
Agreed. And you know, the thing is, like, you know, a team like Buffalo, I mentioned last week's pod, they've been playing pretty well lately. Like, believe it or not, you know, it's great. Listen to the goal differentials for this, okay? Don't look. I want you to guess.
Yeah.
What's Washington's goal differential?
I know it's in the negatives. I want to say like minus 15.
It's negative 41, okay?
Jesus.
Yeah. The Flyers are negative 23. The Devils are minus 13. The Senators are minus 24. The Canadiens are minus 55. And the Blue Jackets are minus 57. What's Buffalo's goal differential?
+2.
Zero.
Yeah.
Zero even. Very good guess, though. Zero. So they're even for the year. They've been catching up. I thought for like a couple of days there, I'm like, oh man, these guys might make a push. But
because I think Pittsburgh's around that, too, because they were obviously in the negatives. And they've been on the hottest of hot streaks one of the hottest teams in the NHL right now, pushing for that second wild card.
Right. And they lost last night in overtime. But like, for instance, like the Islanders are minus 23. Like, it's there for the taking. Like, you know, like you have to leapfrog, because here's the situation the Flyers are in, which is really going to, they have to win the last four games. Like, there's no question. They have to win the last four games. Now, the Rangers, they have something to play for here, because they're neck and neck with the Bruins for the President's Trophy. So they have 110 points. The Bruins have 107 at this point. Two more games and they're going to ice this thing. So if they get two more wins.
And you got Dallas in the West creeping on you too. Also,
well, Dallas in the West, I mean, yeah, Dallas got 107. So, I mean, they're close. They're all at 78 games. The Flyers are also at 78 games. But here's the problem. Washington's at 77. Now, Washington and Detroit play each other tonight.
Yep.
That is a huge game for huge implications. Has huge implications. And if anything, you're a fan of probably the Red Wings at that point.
Yeah, I was going to say, you kind of...
You got to be a fan of the Red Wings, because the thing is that the Flyers at this point, trying to get that second wild card is a pipe dream. You really got to shoot for that third place seat. You really have to, because here's why. You already have Tampa's locked up the first wild card. They've already clinched. The third seat in the Metro is still open. It's the only playoff spot in the East in the second wild card that is still open. Pittsburgh's got 84 points. Okay, they played 78 games. Washington and Detroit will have 78 after tonight. There's going to be points available there, so someone's getting 2 points somewhere or another. Or else there may be a loser point available too.
I'm looking at it now. I don't know what you want in this Washington-Detroit win game, excuse me, because you lost the season series to Detroit. So if it comes down to tiebreaker, you lose the head-to-head.
That's why you're not shooting for the second wild card. You got to shoot for third in the Metro. Mm-hmm. Because the Islanders have 85 points. What you're saying.
Got it.
You 2 points, you're right there with them. The thing is, the Islanders have a game in hand. The Islanders have been, you know, iffy. So recently they've played okay, but they haven't played great. I mean, they're 6-4 in their they're 6-4 and they've won four straight. But I mean, they're at some point they're making a push, but something's got to come off there. So I mean, the worst team right now is the Flyers, you know, 2-5-3 their record, but Washington 3-5-2, Pittsburgh's hot, they're 6-1-3, and Detroit's 4-4-2. So anything can happen with that. But the thing is that if the Capitals win tonight, they will leapfrog the Islanders in for third place because of wins. So that's why you really don't want them to win. Now, the Flyers do have one more win than the Islanders, so that's a huge thing. And they only have 26 regulation. They're 34 regulation only wins. So you have to beat them in the wins column. There's a lot that's going on with this whole race. The key is that you got to shoot for that third in the Metro. You've got to beat Montreal. You've got to beat the Rangers. You're hoping by Saturday, the Rangers may have clinched maybe their President's Trophy or something along those lines, or they got to start resting some of their players there a little bit. You hope that happens. Give them a little bit of a break, and maybe you get a little bit of a break there. The Devils are done. They're not making it. So the Devils, they don't have much to play for anymore. They should be a team you could beat. And ultimately, it could come down to where Washington might be looking on the outside looking in. And this could be a very well a last game of the season type deal where you might have for the playoffs type deal. It's leaning up to that, which is kind of scary. And the reason I say it's scary, because yes, these teams they give up a lot of goals to each other. But again, what's it going to take? One team's got to, if they tie in points, then you got to go down to the nitty gritty of the tiebreaker. And right now the Caps have a game in hand. So if they get one more win in the Flyers, it comes down to that. That might last game of the season might not mean anything as well. So the only way that they control their destiny is they've got to buck up and they've got to win these last four games. If I'm John Tortorella in that locker room, I'm saying all your pad is gone. You're on the outside looking in now. And if I'm in the locker room, I'm giving everything I have, because getting into the playoffs, and let me rephrase that. Getting in the playoffs is a great step for this team. It's the experience, everything on those lines. Not getting in the playoffs, while many people would view it as a very bad thing, it's not necessarily a bad thing, because guys are going to be like, man, we had it and we lost it. And that it could be the lesson learned, but you don't want it into the culture of like, oh man, like, you know, we're losing mentality. You have to go back to Elliot Friedman had a great quote that Larry Brown told and stole him. Don't be afraid to win, because you know some guys think when they get tight, like, oh my God, we can win this thing, they clam up. Don't be afraid to win. Just go out there and just finish it. None of these teams have anything to play for. You do. Make it count. You have no choice at this point, because if you want to play for another couple of weeks, I don't care if they go into the first round and they lose in five. I don't care. It's the point of them getting into the playoff hockey and seeing what guys step up in this moment here, because this right now is the telling point of what players are going to be here next season and which ones are going to be moved on. And I can tell you one player that's probably going to be moved on after seeing his last 20 games.
Yeah, and hold off for that, because if this does not sound exciting enough, you can make it even more exciting with DraftKings Sportsbook, the official sports betting partner of the NHL, and the official partner of Orange Backcheck and the Hockey Podcast Network. You can score faster than anything happening on the ice. This week, new customers can bet $5 and get $200 instantly in bonus bets. Like I said, I mean, nobody seems to want to nut up and get this second wildcard spot. Take advantage of that. Bet the books. Bet DraftKings Sportsbook throughout these last couple of games in the NHL. It's going to be great. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now with promo code THPN. New customers bet just $5 on the NHL and get $200 instantly in bonus bets. Only on DraftKings Sportsbook with promo code THPN. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/hockey for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gambling resources. NHL and the NHL Shield are registered trademarks of the National Hockey League. Copyright NHL 2024. All rights reserved. Man, I mean, here's what I'll say. As shitty as it is that they are in this position after being in third place for the majority of this season at this point, what was it? Like early, mid-December? Late,
yeah, most of the season, like, they've been in that second and third place spot.
It's been amazing. And then they just kind of fall apart these last couple of weeks. Nothing beats this sport. True.
No.
Like,
no, nothing does.
And thankfully, again, one of those things that you were referring to, despite all these tiebreakers, despite all these games in hands, nobody effing wants this second wild card.
Right.
Anytime that you think that someone, and I know what you were referring to is trying to get that third spot, but looking at the big picture, in the like, you can get the third spot in the Metro and the second wild card. I do think one might be easier than the other. But it might honestly be that second wild card based solely on the fact that nobody wants to win this thing. Nobody. Anytime that someone can run away with it, whether it's the Flyers or someone else like Washington or Detroit, they fall apart at the seams and they cannot seem to close out this game. That's why it's very interesting what this game tonight between Detroit and Washington is going to entail, because you don't want a three-point game. You want someone to win in regulation. Mm-hmm. You don't want that extra point. Mm-hmm. And you need the Flyers to, even though, like, if you get a extra point out of, if you go to overtime against Montreal, it doesn't hurt you as long as you get that second point. But just for the sole fact that you need rest, you shouldn't be playing an extra 5 minutes after being dead, seemingly dead tired for this last couple of month, really.
Right.
Like, you need to win in 60, let alone, like, especially on what it seems like Tuesday, April 16th against Washington. Is that home or away? I can't remember.
I think it's home.
Let me pull it up real quick. Because it's again, like I said, I even said this a couple weeks ago. It is home. It's giving serious 2010 vibes.
Yeah.
But it doesn't have that magic feel of it. Like you're running with the same coach. You're dealing with a rebuild. The expectations are different. 2010 expectations were way different. You fired the coach. Peter Laviolette came in. And it's like, it feels almost like, was it 2012 was the Pittsburgh series? There was a season, it might have been 2011, where they just limped in and you knew they were not going to go up and do anything. and they got blown out. Boston had the revenge factor after the 2010, and you just got blown out by them.
Well,
it feels like that. Like if they make it to the playoffs this season, they're just limping in and then going to lose in four or five to whether that's Carolina or Boston.
If you go back and look at their okay, so let's take a look back. We'll start back from the lockout season. So 05, 06 would probably be the closest thing because they basically limped in at that point and lost to Buffalo in six. And then they got blown out 9-1 in that game six also.
Yep.
06, 07, they didn't make the playoffs. 07, 08, they lose in the conference final. 08, 09, they lose in Pittsburgh, lose to Pittsburgh in the first round in six. And 2009, 2010, lose in the final, Stanley Cup final. 2010, 2011, they beat Buffalo in seven games and then lost to Boston in four. They got swept. 11, 12. They beat Pittsburgh in the first round in six and then lose to Jersey in five. 12, 13, they didn't make the playoffs in the lockout season. 13, 14, they lose to the Rangers in the first round in seven. 14, 15, no. 15, 16, they lose to Washington in six. 16, 17, no. 17, 18, they lose to Pittsburgh in five or six. Excuse me, they lose in six. So they've had their ups and downs, obviously. And then obviously the last time they've won a playoff round was against in the bubble against Montreal. Look, here's the thing. And I want to go back and I need to retract my statement from earlier with the Islanders. The Islanders only have 26 regulation wins. The Flyers have 28. So you have to leapfrog the Islanders. You have to. That's why the third is the way to go, because the Islanders, they're not going to have tiebreakers over Detroit. Because Detroit's got 38 wins. But you're not going to be out Pittsburgh because Pittsburgh's got 31 regulation wins. You can't tie Pittsburgh in points. You're going to lose that because you're tied in wins right now. So anyway, going back, this feels like it's hard to say because it's not like, you know, you can say it's mirrors like 2001, 2002, 2001, like 2001 where they were in Buffalo and they lost in six against Buffalo after being favored. 2001, 2002, where they scored two goals in five games against the Senators. 02, 03, where they lose in the second round to Ottawa after beating Toronto in seven. 03, 04, oh, that team should have never lost, but they lost to John Tortorella.
I was going to say, ironically, John Torts.
Yeah. So I could go back. The only thing I could say from my recollection, if you're saying what this feels like 05, 06. This really feels like 05, 06. Like, you know, if they get in, they're not going to do much, but you want them to get in anyway. Let's just hope it doesn't happen, you know, the following season, 06, 07. But we've already seen that. I think this team would benefit from a playoff because it gives them a little more drive. Like, okay, we know what we need to do now. We know what we need to do to get better. I think from a management standpoint, Keith Jones and Danny Briere would really have to look at this and say, okay, if you're looking at it from a 50,000 foot view, how do we continue this momentum going forward? Where are we at in the rebuild? You want a rebuilding team. That tanking is not an option. Obviously, you know, that you're not going to go tank because you already
kind of already did the tank unintentionally or intentionally, whatever. Correct. Like you already did it.
Bingo. So now you look at it and say, okay, which teams are going to start falling off even further? So look at it. What teams are on the up, what teams are on the down, and what teams are not going to get any better next season? So let's take a step back and take a look at that. So first of all, if I'm looking at just the division or just the Eastern Conference itself, Columbus is not going to get any better. Even if they get healthy, they're not going to get that much better. Montreal, they have a chance to improve. They have some talent there, and Marty St. Louis is a pretty solid coach. I think they have an opportunity to get better. Ottawa, who the hell knows? They've been trying to get good. Yeah. They've signed guys. It's not good. Buffalo is on the up and up. They're a team that's going to start surprising people. The Devils, if they square away their goaltending and they go out and get a goaltender this offseason, they're going to be in much better shape. But who's going to start falling off? Detroit's on the up and up. Pittsburgh's going to start taking a step back. Washington's going to take another step back. The Islanders, I think they're going to start falling off again. I just don't think the Islanders have what it takes. They don't have enough of a core there. They have Ilya Sorokin and goal, but you can't build around like just a solid goaltender like that and play what the Rangers did in the mid-2010s. So, and Tampa too. Tampa, you can never write Tampa off, but at the same time, those guys are going to be another year older, and you got to wonder what's going to be left in the tank down there, and you know, before they have to start, you know, not tearing down to the studs, but start refreshing their roster a little bit. So that's the 50,000 foot view. So now if you're Keith Jones and Danny Briere, okay, what do we need to put in here now to get these guys to the next level? What do we need to do? Who needs to go, first of all? Not who you're going to bring in, who needs to go?
Yeah.
I know the contract. He's got a second year of a 6-year contract. I'm putting Joel Farabee on the market. I'm done with him. Like, I no disrespect to Joel personally. I just saying, from a perspective of what he's done for this hockey team this year, it's not enough. And what he's shown over the last 2 or 3 seasons, it's not enough. He needs to go. He needs a change of scenery. You do what Ivan Provorov did. I think he was the guy that Torch was targeting when he said that some guys just, you got to have it. And Joel hasn't put up a point in God knows how long.
Yep.
And that's the thing. You can't have that. When he's a guy, when you're making that kind of money and you're that committed to being that kind of player for this team, you need to be a guy. And you can't go 10 games without a point. You just can't. You're not Cam Atkinson. Cam Atkinson, you know, there's some maybe there's some issues there with still coming back from his injury, and he's always been a streaky player. But you can't need that with a young guy, not with a 24-year-old. So he's a guy I'm looking to move. Morgan Frost, I still think you keep him in the fold, but I'm not trying to get ahead of myself. But at the same time, those are the things that you have to look at. Okay, and then the biggest question, honestly, what are we doing with the goaltending situation? Is Ersson a starter in the NHL? Is he a full-time starter? What's the reason why he fell off? What do we need to bring him back? Is it Fedotov? Maybe Fedotov just needs more experience. Probably. It might be Ersson.
Yeah, Fedotov 100%. That's 100% one of the factors. I can't believe after seemingly 5 years of, oh my God, we have our goalie set. We're good. This is something we don't have to worry about. We're back to 2012 conversations, 2013 conversations. Like, this sucks.
The Flyers are easily in third place, no question, fighting for second place.
Yeah, if Carter Hart's not a goddamn idiot and getting himself in trouble, it is a lazy take that I'm about to say. It is 100% Carter Hart's fault.
Go ahead, go for it, get angry.
It is not difficult to respect women or other people, Carter Hart. Like, look, I understand that you are a young kid, but don't be a goddamn idiot and ruin your NHL career, let alone your franchise's playoff chances, because of your mistakes in 2018. Like, my God, how are we at this point in 2024? It's ridiculous. I apologize for hitting my desk. It's so goddamn frustrating because, yes, this team is tired. Yes, they are worn out. Yes, Ersson is being pushed to the limit. Yes, Fedotov was a nice surprise. Square one, peg one, reason one, Carter Hart. That's why. That's why we're in this position. He has had the world in front of him in terms of talent and expectations here in Philadelphia. He was going to be... I don't think this is going to be hyperbolic. He was going to be the next Ron Hextall. Could have been. Might have been even Bernie Perron if they won it. If they won it. Only if they won it. But he was at on the trajectory of Ron Hextall status. And he pissed it all away. For what? Moron.
And it's true, and not to backtrack, but I mean, listen, that's the key. You build from the back to the front. Now, they believe in Ersson. They believe in Ersson. They believe in Fedotov. The plan B was Cal Peterson, you know, and that was able to get Sean Walker in a first-round draft pick, because that's the thing you're trying to build. But they, you know, they also have some players in the wings. They do have Carson Bjornsson, who was a very highly touted goaltender. They do really like Fedotov. They like Kolosov. You know, he may be a little undersized and stuff like that, but he's going to get some time in the A, and he might see what happens. There's going to be a battle next season. And next season, you're going to see some guys battling and pushing each other, which is kind of what you need at this point now. Because, you know, and it's funny, my buddy, you know, my buddy Jeff, I told him the other day, I said, man, this is why they should have gone out and gotten a veteran backup for Ersson in the meantime to kind of just pull some. And he goes, yeah, but think about it this way. He goes, look back at like what the Kings did back in 2007, 2008. They had drafted Jonathan Bernier in the first round. They had Eric Erzberg as their starter. And who came in and supplanted both of them? Jonathan Quick.
Yeah, Quickie.
Came out of nowhere. And I'm not going to lie, I saw one of Quick's first starts. I'm like, this kid's got something. I just remember watching. I'm like, holy shit, this kid's really good. Like, you can... I don't know. Maybe just me because I play the position and just been watching my whole life. I can see when a goalie has it and when they don't. Like when they have it and when they don't have it. Like Sandstrom, like he doesn't have it. Like
yep.
Cal Peterson, he doesn't have it. Like he just
not
like,
anymore.
He
yeah,
he like, never did.
Yeah,
he just they found the book on him.
But I think what you're getting at is these guys have something. In terms of Fedotov and Ersin, they have potential. Do. Exactly.
They had, absolutely. Ersin's got to fix a lot of his game. I love Ersin. I love the way he battles. His high side
is rough.
Yeah, he's really got to work on that because that is really going to burn him because that's the difference of being a starter and being and riding the pine and being a backup guy. And that's – you don't want to turn him into like a Boosh. Like, no disrespect, because like Boosh is a battler. Boosh is a guy, but Boosh here in Philadelphia's first go around, you saw kind of the similar thing here in 99-2000. You saw Boosh come in. You saw Boosh kind of take over. You saw Boosh lose that season. They lost that series against the Devils, and the next season came back, and he had all his confidence wasn't quite there. He was giving up some weird goals, and then Čechmánek came in and took over, and he was riding the pine after that. And then they flip him off to the Phoenix, and he was playing okay in Phoenix, but then after that, he was in and out, basically almost out of the NHL at some point. He was in the AHL when the Flyers brought him back in 07-08 before he signed with the San Jose Sharks. So the whole point I'm trying to make is that Boosh wound up coming back and battling and being a backup and being a legendary figure here in Philadelphia. But the thing is that for the most part of his career, you know, he could have some of the things that didn't get addressed right away. Wound up hurting him, his career more down the line until later on in his career. You don't want that to happen to Ersin. And the reason why, and I'm not saying it's all about Ersin, but you don't want Ersin to kind of fall off a cliff. And I'm not trying to make this whole thing about goaltending. You don't want him to fall off a cliff because then it sets the whole franchise back. Look at the Devils. That is the clearest example of what happens when you don't have good goaltending. You have all the skill in the world on that team. You have so many good players on that team. But you have no goaltending.
Same with Edmonton. You can argue the exact same thing with Edmonton over there because like they're wasting literally the best player since ever, since Wayne Gretzky, arguably, that we've seen. And he's just rotting away. He's won cups. But you're not wasting Sidney Crosby's talent. He's won three cups or four cups.
I understand
cups.
That, but I'm saying, never mind. It's semantics. What you're saying.
I'm at a point, and I addressed this last week or last episode. Expectations change all the time in sports. And when they get hold on to that third and second battle, but for that second and third spot in the Metro since December, the expectations in the fan base immediately change. That's how it works. Whether it's fair or not, going into the season, everyone was like, they're going to suck. 76 points will be lucky. And now they're on they're on the cusp of potentially 90 points if they win out. Like, just fucking win. Like, I know it's a lot easier to say than do in winning in the NHL, but just fucking win. It's Montreal. It's Washington. I'm not afraid of these teams. The only team I'm afraid of on the last four games is the New York Rangers. And like you said, they might not even really care if they're out of the President's Trophy race. Honestly, if they're the Rangers, lo and behold, if they're smart, they don't want to win the President's Trophy because that thing is cursed. Like, go and if you want to win a cup under Peter Laviolette, don't win the President's Trophy. But that's not a hero nor there. I don't care about the Rangers. Go do whatever you want to do. Flyers, just effing win these last four games. It's not... It's a tall task, but it's not a tall task. Like, it's you have the talent to some extent. The problem is the injuries are piling up. The goalie's collapsing. Like, everything that could possibly go wrong is happening in the last month of the season. Mm-hmm. And that's what we're dealing with. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know. Any final thoughts? Because we got to wrap. I'm so tired of this. I'm hoping the next time we record, we're talking a preview of Carolina. Or Boston, Florida.
I'll say this. I have not been more pissed off about a Flyers game in a long time than like in that game against Columbus. I was legitimately pissed off after that game. To have a team where you have eight players that are out to injury and eight players are from the AHL and all six goals come from defensemen. It's just,
yep.
It's just, oh, it just made it even worse. You got blown out by the worst team in the conference. You got blown out. I my final thought is this. Despite all that, that anger that I felt and I haven't felt in a long time, it felt good. It felt good to feel that anger. It felt good to be like, fuck you. Like, fuck this fucking team. Like, are you fucking kidding? Yeah, because my wife was like, what is wrong with you? I'm like, I just fucking lost to Columbus. And she's like, it's just a game. I'm like, I know it's just a game. It just kind of hit me. I was like, wow, like, this team's really got me my emotions again.
Yeah.
Like, that's my final thought with it. Like, if you're pissed off, good.
Yeah, embrace that.
Good.
Yeah.
Embrace that feeling. Because when's the last time you could get that mad over a game? You know what I mean? Like, and that's the thing. I don't get mad that often, but it's just like, man, like when you're that close, like it was bringing back the feels from like 2009, 2010, where like you're so close and just you got to get in there and just when you're down 3-0 against Boston, like this goddamn team did all this. Now it's they're going to win. Now go fucking win the thing. You know what? This team has not had a miracle or something go in its favor for a very long time. They really have not. They haven't. We haven't seen a good thing out of this franchise in this thing where you could be on the edge of your seat. This is what it's all about. Bring it on. Bring it on. I want to embrace it. I want to be in tune to that plane, in tune to that game tonight. And I want to be into it. And I want to be like every second of that game, I want to be on the edge of it. Like, oh my God, I'm like, come on. Like the past 2 weeks have been like that. Watch like, come on, get the fucking puck in the net. Like, you know, I'm a very, you know me, I'm a very like even keeled kind of person and stuff like that. I'm very even keeled, very level headed, look at everything. But the thing is, when those emotions take over because they haven't been able to be a part of that in so long, I haven't felt this way about meaningful Flyers games since the bubble, since the playoff series. That means that it's there. You're back in it. You're passionate. You want it. So if you're feeling that kind of anger, good, because that means the team has got you by the feels again, and it's only going to make regardless what happens over the next couple games, you're still going to be in it until you can't be in it anymore. Until there's no mathematical way that they can get into it, and then it'll be like, oh, shit, like they were so close, and that frustration will carry over into the summer if it happens, and it'll be like next season, like man, like it just that I want to see more out of this team this year, and it's going to ride you into it. And I think that for Philadelphia and for guys like us who do the podcast and for the fans, this is awesome. This is great. This is exactly what we needed. And regardless what happens this week, Bill, I can say for the first time, legitimately in a long time, I'm happy that I feel this way. I'm happy that I feel frustrated. I'm happy that I feel pissed off. Because they've got us all back into it.
Yeah. This is not something I have felt probably, like you said, in 2020, maybe even longer than that, depending on what your thoughts on were the bubble, the fake Stanley Cup, the Tampa one, but congratulations anyway. But yeah, embrace it. Try and enjoy the last four games. It's going to suck if they blow it against the Montreal tonight, because that'll probably put a bow on it. But then again, no one really wants that final wildcard spot. So who the hell knows? They're toying with our emotions at this point. That's really what it comes down to between all these teams, especially the Flyers. So enjoy it. I couldn't have said it better myself from Scott. And thanks, Carter Hart. That's what I'll end with. Thank you, as always, for joining us for episode 174 of Orange and Back Check, brought to you by the Hockey Podcast Network and DraftKings Sportsbook. Use promo code THPN when signing up to get your bonus. We'll talk to you hopefully in the playoffs.
playing with my money is like playing with my emotions.